Hey, church, how has God been revealing His awesomeness to you? Last Tuesday, one of our staffs testified how amazingly God watched over her and provided for her, even when she was unaware that her tire punctured and while driving out there alone towards the evening. And you can look up for that full story in our Monday Miracles post. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that God wants to reveal Himself to us. And what I love about this whole series is that there are stories about real people who had issues like you and me. They encountered God, and through that encounter, had a revelation of God. It's like they didn't know what to think of God, but while they were going through their own problems, God met with them and helped them realize their own issues. And once they admitted to their issues, they had a revelation of the God who could help them overcome their problems. You know, it doesn't matter where you are in life right now. God can meet with you. You are not too far off for Him to reach you. In fact, if you have a problem, you probably have some issues. And if you were honest enough to admit your issues, you won't be far off from having a revelation of who God is. Your encounter with Him will help you overcome your problems. So today we are looking at the life of Jacob, whose story actually started in Genesis 25. Now, Jacob is the second son of Isaac, who came out actually holding on to the heels of his brother. And the twins were struggling together so much in the womb that their mother, Rebecca, went and inquired of the Lord. And Genesis 25, verse 23, actually told us that the Lord told Rebecca, "There are two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So in fact, Jacob was known to be the struggler all his life. You know, outwardly, he was a gentle-natured, a plain man who quietly minding his own domestic affairs of lands and cattle. But inwardly, he struggled to be more. And further down in the same chapter, it was revealed that Jacob secretly actually desired the birthright. The birthright actually involved both a material and a spiritual dynamic. And the son of the birthright received a double portion of the inheritance. And he also became the head of the family and the spiritual leader upon the passing of their father. So in this case, this birthright actually belonged to Esau. But you see, one day when Esau was just famished after his hunt, Jacob took advantage of that opportunity and tricked his brother into selling the birthright for just a bowl of stew. And later, Jacob also deceived his own father and stole his blessing. And the Bible tells us that Esau hated Jacob, so much so that he wanted to kill him. Now, it was said that how Jacob came to such a mess in his life was simply because inwardly, he struggled to be more. Can you imagine being foretold that you would be the greater son, but in reality, your adventurous brother was the one that went places and always brought back the special delicacy, and everyone gathered and talked about his hunting skills, and even dad just loved boasting about this Esau, his eldest son. It made Jacob wonder, where was his greatness? How was he supposed to lead when he was the second son? You know, at a time, it was like an unspoken understanding that you would be deemed second best if you were not the firstborn. And don't we all dislike being second best? And especially for creatives, being second best feels like a failure. And like Jacob, many of us struggled our whole life trying to live up to the expectations. Now, some of these expectations are not necessarily bad. I mean, Jacob was prophesied to be the greater leader. And like Jacob, we secretly actually struggled to be more. But because we didn't know how, we schemed and made choices that eventually put us into a mess. And what do we do next? We run. So while Jacob was running, God met with him in a dream and reminded him of his greatness. Wow. He dreamt that there was a ladder placed on the earth, but and the top of it reached towards the heaven. And the angels of God was ascending and descending on it. So let's just look at Genesis 28, verses 13 to 15. Behold, the Lord stood above the ladder, you know, above it, and said to Jacob, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And verse 15 is what I love most, because God said this to Jacob, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. You see, Jacob was feeling most troubled at that time. Imagine the whole mixed feelings, you know, that flooded him. The fear, the guilt, maybe some excitement, but the loneliness, the insecurity, the anticipation. It was an important time in Jacob's life. And God met Jacob when he was in his mess. And he assured Jacob that he is his God. And Jacob now suddenly realized that, wow, he has access to heaven and God is closer than he ever thought before. And I love that God didn't just, you know, tell Jacob the covenant he made with his forefathers and now with him. He promised that he would keep his promise. Wow. Our God is indeed a promise keeper. And even though Jacob didn't look for God or ask God, which he should have done actually, but God came and looked for Jacob. Are you pretty messed up in your life right now? God has not forgotten you. And there is no mess too great for God. And He still believes in the greatness in you. And He wants to meet with you personally. And He's closer than you thought. Now, Jacob being Jacob, you know, after God spoke to him, he made a selfish vow that if God would take care of him, then only he would make God his God. Well, it was clear that Jacob was in pursuit of blessings while God was in pursuit of him. So in the next chapter of his life, for 20 years, Jacob continued his struggles. He struggled with Laban, his father-in-law, and the families in Paddan Aram, until the time for him to return back to Canaan and face his mess. Now, all this while, even though Jacob knew God, he was living his deceitful ways. He became exceedingly prosperous, but his struggles with men never rest. So even though he had a closure with Laban eventually, you know, while he was fleeing, he was now troubled, fearing what Esau might do to him when they meet again. And Jacob reached a breaking point in Genesis 32 when he cried out to God to save him. And I feel like this is one of the most exciting times for him, because this time he finally went to the Lord for help. He prayed a very good prayer because he was humble, he was full of faith, he was full of thanksgiving and in accordance to God's word. Maybe outwardly you seem to be doing well, but do you find rest inside? Have you reached a place of breaking point yet? Well, I want to encourage you to call upon the Lord. Cry out to Him humbly and truthfully. Let's look at, you know, Jacob's prayer in Genesis 32, verses 9 to 12. And this is what Jacob said. First, he recognized this God. He says, O God of my father Abraham, O God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you said to me, okay, so he quoted the word of God, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. And he recognized that what he's doing right now, he is doing according to what God wanted. And then he was humble to say that. And I realized that, verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds and steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to me, your servant. So now, verse 11, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me and the mothers with the children. And verse 12, he says, but you said, again, he referred to God's word, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So he reminded God of what God promised, and he pleaded with God to help him. And later in that chapter, Jacob struggled with God. You see, all his life he struggled with men, but finally he struggled with God. Or some say God struggled or God wrestled with Jacob. And out of that wrestling, Jacob came out with a new identity, and he never walked the same again. You know, when Jacob struggled with God, he finally realized his issues. Remember what I mentioned earlier? His self-sufficient, deceitful, and manipulative ways. And he came to his senses that he needed God. And more than that, he was determined that he wanted God's blessing. You know, he wouldn't let the angel of the Lord go. He says, unless you bless me. And when he held on to God like that, God helped Jacob start over. But first, he needed to return to Bethel, the place which is called House of God. Wow. The climax of Jacob's story came when Jacob finally obeyed God and returned to Bethel, the house of God. So let's go to Genesis 35, okay? Verse 2 and 3. You saw that Jacob rose up to lead. He said to his household, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourself, change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me whenever or wherever I've gone. It was impossible for Jacob to truly have a change of life until he was set apart and dwell in God's house or God's presence. Jacob was told to go back to Bethel since the beginning and resume a life of worship there. But he was, you know, he was reluctant. But now, he finally returned to Bethel. And not only that, he began to lead his family back to the house of God to worship God. So let's jump to verse 9. So then everything happened. Verse 9, God appeared to Jacob again, and he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. So God spoke to Jacob in Bethel the first time in Genesis 28, but now, after that, you know, God pursued him, and this is the seventh time it was mentioned in actually the Bible. Okay, so God appeared to him, and God's pursuit of Jacob showed that it has more to do with who God is than who Jacob is. Right? God has promised to bless Abraham's family, and he's pursuing Jacob to keep his promise, because our God is a promise keeper. So even though Jacob's behavior was flawed all this while, God saw who Jacob would be after his encounter with God. So once Jacob settled in Bethel, where God wanted him to be, God appeared to him again. And God blessed him greatly. And then the next verse tells us that God called him by his new name. Are you at a place where God wants you to be? You see, God wants to bless us, but we must be found in Bethel, the house of God, or the place of worship. So verse 10, you know, God said to him, your name is Jacob, but no longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. And so he called his name Israel. See, God knew Jacob's competing struggles. That's why he said, he called his name Jacob first. He wanted Jacob to know that I am very aware of where you are, your manipulative and deceitful ways, and you're struggling and wrestling with men to get what you thought that you deserve until I wrestled with you. So Jacob, all this while, was just acting like his old name, you know, even after the Lord told him, you know, earlier, you know, after the wrestling. And until now, you know, he was still acting in his old ways. But God finally got a hold of him in Bethel and commanded him to be Israel. This change of name also marked a change of heart after he came to Bethel. And Jacob began to realize that he wanted God. And Israel simply means God shall fight. And it was as if God was telling Jacob that you don't have to struggle and fight for yourself anymore, because you have me, a God that will fight for you. And God gave him this new name, which actually became the name of this nation, Israel, right? To fulfill Jacob's purpose. So verse 11, God said to him, again, that whole covenant that he made, you know, with Abraham since the beginning, you know, I'm God the Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. And the land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will now give to you. And I will give the land to your offspring after you. Wow. You know, when God appeared to Abraham in this verse 11, he introduced himself and said that I am God Almighty. You know, I am God Almighty actually, you know, is called El Shaddai. And it means simply the true God who is over all. Or I love, you know, another commentator was saying that it is called the overpowerer. The overpowerer. It simply means God will do what he purposes to do, overpowering all opposition. That means there's nothing that can come against this Almighty God, because he overpowers them all. And some said that, you know, it also brings this meaning, which says that God is all-sufficient, or he is enough. Him alone is enough. And his sufficiency uses every lack for his great purposes. This name, God Almighty, El Shaddai, is so real in Jacob's life, because all his life, he was fighting to overpower others until he realized that he cannot overpower God. And when he has God, the overpowerer, at his side, he was able to return back to his purpose and his destiny. See, if you look at Jacob's life, God overpowered every forces. I mean, so many years that tried to derail his life and
and brought him back to his purpose. And a nation was called after him and was known to be the people of God. Verse 13 to 15, just very quickly, God went up from that place. 14, Jacob set up a pillar in that place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. In verse 15, Jacob called the name of that place where God has spoken with him, Bethel. Jacob finally was found in the place, in the house of God, and found his purpose. And God brought him back as he promised he would since the very beginning. God met Jacob in his struggle, stayed with him, was patient with him, and kept his promise to bring him back to that place. So it had been 23 years. And Jacob named this place Bethel, making where God joined him and where God brought him to the fullness of his promise. You know, I know today many of us, we can relate to Jacob's struggle, which is, would we pursue life and blessing on our own, or trust God and follow his way? You know, when we follow his way, we can be sure that El Shaddai, the Almighty God, will overpower every other forces that comes against us to bring about his purposes or promises on our lives. In fact, a few days ago, you know, when I was preparing this message, I woke up in the morning, I mean, having this dream, this enormous peace. It was like as if God was telling me, life is so simple. If you would just allow me, the Almighty God, and follow me so that I can overpower every other forces that come against you. And you don't have to struggle yourself. You don't have to strive so hard. You can let me, the overpowerer, do it for you. Now, you know, this God of Jacob is still the same God. He enters into our struggle and offers us his presence and his blessing. But we have to say yes. We have to come to that place where he wants us to be and build our stone pillar, you know, build that altar and pour out our drink offering, just like what Jacob did. I believe God is extending his invitation to us in this very real person, Jesus, who came down to enter our struggle. Our response today can be to turn to him. But instead of building the stone pillar, we repent of building our own life. And instead of pouring out a drink offering, we confess Jesus to be our Lord. This same kind of promise God gave to Jacob actually is found in Philippians 1:6. And let me read it to you. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And God won't let us go until his work is complete in us. You know, I believe you can trust this El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the Overpowerer, to bring you back, just like how he started the work in you, he will complete it when Jesus comes again. I'm going to invite Wonder Science to bring us to a place of worship so that you can invite Him.